Well, we do need the blessings of the Lord, as always. Sometimes we feel prepared and sometimes we don't feel prepared. But we always need the Lord. I'm so grateful we can be here together at Monarch again. And times like this, I'm interested. I'm thinking about how many will be coming in, perhaps right now on the road. And I'm asking the Lord to give them safety and bring him here safely. And know that the next few days is going to be full of a lot of wonderful, beautiful singing, inspired songs. I want to tell you, folks, I get a lot of inspiration out of these songs. These songs mean something to me. There's a message in every song. These songs speak to my heart. And I can relate to the truths that I find there, and sometimes I have to think that maybe, perhaps, some of the writers, whenever they were going through their struggles and gaining their victories, that probably after they came out on the other side, or maybe when they was going through the battle, they got something from the Lord and began to put it down in poetic form and began to write it to a song. And here we are now today, blessed with these songs. There's a story about Brother D.S. Warner one time that they'd had a good, wonderful early morning service. I think a Sunday morning service, and another brother he's with went home with somebody for lunch, and bowed their head to thank the Lord for the meal. And the other brother, while they were thanking the Lord for the meal, the other brother just really seemed to get blessed and was inspired during thanking the Lord for the meal. And Brother Warner was right there, and he just wasn't feeling that. And so it bothered him. Well, after the meal, he kind of was pondering it through the meal, and afterwards he went over behind his haystack, and he started talking to the Lord about it. And that's where one of our songs came from, talking about that's not the one. No, not even that one. I had it just a while ago. And I'll try to remember it one of these times. I'll try to share it with you again. But Brother Dennis Warner, he realized, my feelings are given to Father's control. His spirit shall govern. What? It is, I say the great word, isn't it? I'm sorry, you had it right. My feelings are given to Father's control. His spirit shall govern my body and soul. I dare not confide in a rapturous frame, but stand on a promise forever the same. And I just want to encourage you by that. We look up to Brother Warner. Feel like the Lord led him in many ways. There are some things I think that he may have done that I wish he'd have done differently. I think he could have treated his family, been a little bit more wise in some of that. But he was going for God, and we're all human. But in the way that his desire for the Lord, and the Lord inspired a song like that, and we look up to him, that lets us know that you and I also, as we pass through life, we're going to go through some times, and we need to realize that it's not tied to our emotions. Our salvation isn't tied to our emotions. I dare not confide in a rapturous frame, but I stand on the promise forever the same. God has an anchor, a foundation for us. And may the Lord help us all to dwell on that. Now this afternoon, I would like to read you a psalm. And talk to you a little bit about that. It's Psalms 133. Behold, it's a short one. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. And the dew of Hermon, and as a dew that descended upon the mountains of God, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Well, this was, it says in the heading of this psalm on my Bible, it says, a song of degrees of David. If David wrote this, and it appears that he did, I wonder how many times a king, or if you're a leader, if you're a father, if you're a mother, and you have children, I wonder how many times you could say along with David, oh, it's wonderful when people get along. It is, isn't it?
Yes.
How do you get along? You know what? It always takes effort.
Yes.
You ever heard that in the scriptures, there's verses that talk about bearing and forbearing? You know, bearing seems to be like the immediate thing I'm going through right now. I've got this person is, I'm just having to really bear. They're really getting on my, I'm feeling those things that we can experience. And then forbearing is willing to go ahead and be willing to bear more for the future. I'm going to bear, I'm going to forbear, I'm bearing now, and it's my heart to just continue on with this thing. And sometimes that's going to have to be our purpose also. I believe that in the church of God, good saved people can have differences in personalities. Good saved and sanctified people. We do. Do you remember, point you to another incident in the scripture where Jesus came to Peter. How would you describe Peter's personality? Think about it just for a little bit. He was a man that seemed like he was pretty impulsive. Remember, he's the one that grabbed the sword and used it. He had this impulsiveness about him. He was willing to take action. He was also the one that when Jesus was being falsely accused, he was there, but he was scared and he got cornered to the point that he had just told Jesus, I'll never deny. You remember that? Not me. Everybody else, not me. I'll be there. And in the middle of it, he rejected him three times. And Jesus told him, you'll do it. And three times, and after the third time, it seemed like he had such vehemence that what he said was improper. He said he cursed. I don't know what that really means, but his verbiage wasn't correct. What he did wasn't right. He shouldn't have been doing that. Shouldn't have denied him. How did Jesus handle him? Did he? It's in the scripture, isn't it, brother? How do you think those eyes, what do you think it looked like? How does Jesus deal with you? Gentle and kind. And in a way to reclaim us. I believe that when Jesus looked at Peter with all his caught, he was. I think he had a heartache. Why did I do that? And the caught crew, it reminded him. Oh, that was me. And Jesus, I could just see the eyes sweep over. I don't think the eyes were full of fire. I don't believe if we just saw his eyes that day, I don't think Jesus would have been saying, I told you so. That's not, he looked at him. And I believe Peter, as he looked back and saw those eyes, he knew, that was me, Lord. And the best thing he knew how to do was go out and weep bitterly. How do you get along? How do we get along together? Sometimes there's got to be some weeping. Brother, I'm sorry. I said that. I realize now I shouldn't have. Would you forgive me? Do you know when we learn to practice bearing and forbearing and giving and forgiving? When we learn to practice that, that does good for everybody. When children learn to see a mom and daddy that's willing to say, I'm sorry, and practice forgiveness, you know what that does for the family? That does some teaching to some children. I want to tell you, that does more teaching than anything. If you can try to say, well, I'm trying to teach my children forgiveness, but if you can't forgive and practice forgiveness, you're not teaching your children very well. God would have us to model this gospel. I believe that God many times looks down on the group of humans and he might watch us in our actions and sometimes little things that we can learn to carry, practice at least carrying in our pocket, that God would say, I wish you, that's a weight that just is besetting you and carrying you, weighing you down and causing you not to be in a place where true victory is gained. And the Lord comes by and taps us on the shoulder. He wants us to be willing to turn that over when He reveals to us, this is a problem. You know, there's a song, again, a message in this song. Let not thy peace and calm assurance be ruffled by the storms of life. That's a call to you and I. I believe that's also a scriptural message. I believe God would have us in a place where we are anchored in Him in peace, and He is the Prince of Peace, and I'm interested in following after this peace. And this thing that I realize is rancoring my spirit right now, it's not creating peace in me, and the Lord would have me turn that loose. Yes. And begin to sometimes, at some place, begin to say along with the psalmist, behold how good and how pleasant. Now we're here at Monarch. This is a wonderful place. A wonderful time to be together. And Brother Marty confirmed to us this morning that I believe that the Lord is interested in meeting us here. We can put ourselves in a position that the Lord, we can hinder His working in us. Or we can just open our door gladly. Fling it open and say, Lord, we want You here in this service. And the things that I see that are troubling me, I want to empty out of that. And I want You, Lord, to work and walk through my heart. And reveal some places. If they're... Search me, O Lord. That scripture? Search me, O Lord. Try. See if there's... And the Lord will help us to remove that. That's part of all Monarch's about, isn't it? We want to meet with the Lord. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I didn't get to that part of that about Brother Peter after he denied the Lord. And you remember he went out and wept bitterly. And then, do you remember... I go fishing. We're here kind of, don't know what's going on. I'm just going to go fishing. And some of them went with him. Remember when he came back? The Lord confirmed to him. There's a call for you. Remember what Jesus did? You love me? Remember that? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. I love you. Feed my sheep. Got a job for you. There's a responsibility you have, Peter. Peter and all the things you went through, you went fishing and you found out that you can't even do that well anymore. You've done all kinds of things. You said you wouldn't deny me and you couldn't do that without me. You found that you're just weak. And in the midst of your denying and me coming to you, I want to strengthen you. I want to help you. I want to reclaim you. And I've got a job for you. Me? I'm the one that denied. I just came back from fishing. Well, all right, Lord. Yes, I love you. Yes, indeed, I love you, Lord. Feed my lambs. And as soon as what they were starting to walk away from that encounter, what was it that was in Peter's mind? He looks over and sees another apostle, doesn't he? Leaning on Jesus' bosom. Oh, I'm just enjoying being with the Lord. Lord, what do you have for this man to do? You gave me a pretty good job. What about him? Dwelling together. How good. I want to bring this in right here. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You ever felt like you was bearing all the weight? All the load? I'm sure. I don't see him here this afternoon. Brother Mike Hightower. I hope he's resting somewhere.
He's probably working.
That's exactly right. Just before lunch, Brother Mike was over there fixing some mechanical issues over there. Y'all know him well? Some of us around here do. I grew up with him. He's not a preacher, but he's a minister. He's been an example, faithful man of God. Lost his wife a little over a year ago. He told me, he said, I thought we'd getting close to retirement here. I thought we was going to have some good years together. He said, I guess the Lord had other plans. It's hard for him. He's got a serious affliction on his body. Yes. I'm just telling you, he's got a very serious, life-threatening affliction on his body. And that man is given. I wrote, thank you, sir. Brother Mike, if you're here, I'm sorry. But don't hurt to have a little flowers for a brother like this. Amen. You're not going to notice him in the pulpit very often. He might stand up here and do some business type things, but I'm going to tell you what. He has poured tremendous amount of his effort into this work right here. It's good for people to be able to pull together. You know what? I have never seen anything out of Brother Mike that says, why don't y'all do something? I'm pulling all the weight around here. He's just happy to be part of this body. Oh, he's happy to do his part. And right now I'm in a phase that I would kind of like to tell him to sit down and rest for a while. Because I want him around for some more years. But this is all part of what we do as a body of Christ. We don't look at somebody and say, Lord, what about him? And sometimes there's some legitimate needs for the other man. But you know what? I really need to say, Lord, look at me. I'm interested. I need to get to heaven. And here at Monarch, you can probably, throughout the meeting, there'll be times that the opportunity will arise that you can be offended. Or say, what about this? That person is just not living up to the standard. The standard is holiness. Godliness and righteousness, that is all true. But sometimes you're going to have to leave somebody else in the hands of the Lord. Because I'm running for my own life. And brother, sister, you are too. You are too. We can't afford to let the devil trip us up. We can't afford to let the devil bring things into our hearts and our minds that get us so disturbed in our soul that I can't even run anymore. No, I'm still running for my life this afternoon. I've got to make heaven
And so do you. That's why we're here. Opening up our heart before the Lord during this meeting to say, Lord, search me. Lord, I'm interested. I'm interested in following you with all my heart. Now, unity, and I want to help us to understand. I've probably said that here before because I say it different times in different places. But I want to encourage us to understand unity of the Spirit is different than just making a coalition of people. We find unity of the Spirit of Christ when I am unified with the Spirit of Christ. When I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. When I stay humbled under the mighty hand of God. When I bring myself into subjection to Him. We will find then that there is a unity in Christ, dear ones, over there in is it Philippians? Yes, I believe. Ephesians. Where it talks about the Lord breaking down the middle wall of partition. There's a lot of things the devil will try to use to separate people. But I want to tell you in Christ, tonight, this afternoon, there is no division in Christ. The devil will try to use all kinds of things. But God help us in this our day to not allow the devil to use such petty things that he's peddling in the world today. That we hold on to Christ. Say, devil, I'm not going to let you do that. If we got something in our pocket, let's get it out. Throw it. Devil, that's a weight. I'm tired of carrying. In Christ, we are brothers and sisters. If we are unified with Him, we are of the same blood. Of the same blood. We're blood kin. Doesn't make any difference if you came from India, Mexico, Africa, Europe. In Christ, we're one blood. And you're bought with a price. Yield your members. Of righteousness unto Him, unto righteousness, holiness unto God. John said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you're His disciples. What is that? If you have love one to another. You want to learn the doctrine of Christ? You know how it's done? Oh, I understand. There should be some teaching and some presentation of scriptural doctrine. And I'm not against that at all. But you know how you really learn, where you really learn it and you feel the confirmation in your soul? You know how, where that comes from? It's not from me legally teaching that to you. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to discount. There's a place to teach. But if you really want to feel the confirmation in your heart, get alone with God. Learn some things from Him. Seek His face. And that's where you're going to find the doctrine of God moving His will. What's well that's coming up within us. This confirmation. That's right. And then as we seek and flow into this high mountain, this Zion where God calls us up this mountain into the holy hill of God, and we flow into Him, we will find then it makes no difference on that mountain. It makes no difference where we come from or what color of skin or what nationality or what language we might speak. When we find ourselves, together at the foot of the cross, climbing up Calvary, climbing up the Zion. Oh, dear ones, we look and we find, you're my brother. I know I've told you this story, so I won't belabor it much, but the story about the Russian man I met on an airplane. I had fully intended that morning to get on. I was tired, and I said, this is the day I'm going to try my best to take a nap on the airplane. And I got over there. I said, I'm going to turn my head to the wall, to the window over here, and I'm going to
I'm going to lean on this wall, and I'm going to act like I'm dead to the world, because I'm going to try to get that way here directly. Well, there was a man, got on there, and in the wintertime, had a big old heavy coat, and he wanted to put it in the locker up above, and he handed me his drink. He said, "What would you?" Okay. And that started the conversation that lasted for the next about 2 hours. And we never got off the ground. The plane never got off the ground. We were, the winter storm, we was in the winter storm and it never flew. So finally we had to get off. But the Lord ordered it so. The Lord ordered it. And I felt a little bit at the end of that conversation like Jesus must have felt after he talked with that woman. He said, "Have meat to eat that you know not of." I didn't need any rest. I felt refreshed because the man shared with me his story of salvation. How he had been an atheist, a man in the military in Russia. He had come to the middle part of America. He said, "I heard it was a Bible Belt." And he said, "I go to Walmart," and he said, "his Bibles are freely available, but nobody believes it." And he began to share. And we began to share. Well, long story short, got off the plane. The man reached out his hand and grabbed my arm, grabbed my hand, pulled me to him, wrapped me in his big arms, and said, "My brother." Right in the middle of a busy airport, and I said, "You're my brother." We were both crying. Big men crying in the middle of an airport, calling each other brother. Only met 2 hours ago. How pleasant, how beautiful, how wonderful it is for people to be able to dwell in the presence of God in unity. Is it achievable yet today? Indeed it is. Indeed it is. In fact, God calls us to that place. God calls us there. That means we need to be on guard for any place that would be the enemy of this type of a peace. We need to look for it. We need to recognize it. And if I don't recognize it, ask the Lord to open my understanding that I can see it. But this thing, the devil, he hates unity. He hates oneness. He hates, what was Jesus' prayer just before he left? That they might be one, even as I, Father, am. Don't you think God, that's still his prayer. All these other divisions that the devil has created all throughout the years, God's not for any of that. Saved people ought to all be able to gather here under these and be able to worship the Lord in freedom, the beauty of holiness, enjoying to follow the Lord together. And lock arms and say, "Brother, let's go up to Zion." Maybe we're not exactly where the Lord wants us completely right now, but I'm headed that way. I want to know where He is. "Where dost thou, dear shepherd? Resort with thy sheep." I'm going there. I want to be there. My soul hungers to be right there, closer to you, Lord. And as we find we're doing that together, we're going to find our unity grow stronger. We're going to find our times together are sweeter. And the Lord's presence in our midst is going to be richer. Because He wants to pour out His blessings. He says, "Try me. See if I'm not able to pour you out a blessing greater than you're able to contain." It's over in what, Malachi? Sorry, y'all. Latter part of this chapter. "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." That ties with the first part. Behold, how good and how blessed. And brethren, to dwell together in unity. Oh, when we come here and our hearts are tendered together with the Lord and with each other. And we're not doing things that would strain that the Lord has to work over to try. When we just yielding to the hand of the Lord, come here, and we're able to melt together in the Lord. You know, the Lord, it's just like the Lord, that dew of Hermon, like that anointing, just poured it out, and it kept running down, and it just soaked the whole being. You know, I never thought I really wanted to have oil poured on my head till it came down. But you know, this anointing oil, I'm interested. Pour it on, Lord. Remember what Peter said when Jesus came and wanted to wash his feet? And Peter said, just go ahead and get me all over, Lord. That's how I feel. Lord, just go ahead. I want to be right there where your blessings just pour it on, Lord. And Lord, if there's anything that would dam up your blessing or somehow stop the flow of your anointing, Lord, I want to get that out of the way. Just show me, Lord. I want to be humble and tender and gentle. I want to be pliable in your hand. I want to be one of those that people can look on and say, that's a child of God. Well, that's the message that I have for you this afternoon. That during this time of Monarch, let's keep this in mind. The Lord wants to draw us together and to Himself, especially to Himself first. And in that process of us being drawn nearer to the Lord, He's going to draw us to each other, and He'll work out any differences and personality differences. Folks, we're going to have some of that. We just are, because but the Lord has grace, and the Lord also has a teaching that He'll lead us down. He'll teach us to know how to deal with those differences as we go along. He will. Lord will do that. We think of the personalities of the 12. Did you know there were some of those that wanted to be on his right hand and one on the left? How'd that make the rest of them feel? Lord, help us to be considerate of one another. We can learn that. Did you know that? We can practice that. We can. Perhaps we're not strong in that, but we can practice it till the Lord, we exercise it till we become stronger in that area. This is what the Lord wants to do for us. Don't just tell me I'm saved and sanctified, I have no room for growth, because I'm going to tell you you're not there then. Because that's not what saved and sanctified is all about. I'm going to tell you, when the children of Israel went over in the land of Canaan, I'm glad they crossed over because they needed to. I want to tell you, when they got over there, there was walled cities. And even when they conquered a lot of the territory and they began to establish it and began to grow in that, the Lord still said, let out your tent. There's more land. There's more space. I don't care if you've been saved. And I can say it now. I've been saved for, I was saved in 79. So what does that look like? Over 40 years. Thank the Lord. I'm glad that it's went by very quickly. I can say that now, but even though I can tell you I've been saved that long, I haven't arrived. He's not done working on me. And He's not done working on you. Because God wants to lead His dear children along. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.